that's where, and the therapist asks, oh, do you wish you could have this medical spray for someone in your life? And then the person, the child pivoted to something else. So I feel like that was one of those instances where it wasn't the self, but it was just about like a negative relationship in general.
You guys think that like feelings though could be considered part of the self? Like if he doesn't want to acknowledge like negative experience he's having or feelings or like, nah.
Well,
I'm not stretching too hard.
Yeah, I always go back to the manual. And let me just read you some of the anchor points to refresh your memory about self-esteem. Number a one would be view self as loathsome, evil, rotten, contaminating, globally bad. So it has to specifically have to do with the self. Three is has low self-esteem, feels inadequate, inferior, self-critical, or is unrealistically grandiose. So I think this item, correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, but this item would have to do with being grandiose. Denies negative feelings about the self. I'm not that bad. I'm great. I'm incredible. Right? I remember this kid I worked with for many years. From the time he was 5 until the time he was 18. he came to me for encapresis originally. But there are a lot of other characterological problems with this kid. But I remember he was like in 4th or 5th grade. And I had talked to his teacher, and teacher said he was failing math. And so, and he never talked about school. He only wanted to play. Never wanted to talk about anything other than his monster trucks. That was his favorite thing. And so, if I wanted to talk about something about school, I'd have to bring it up. So I said to him one point, you know, I talked to your teacher today, and you know, she says that, you know, you're failing math. What's going on? Let's talk about it. I'm not failing math. I'm amazing at math. That's exactly how he said it. I'm amazing at math. And I think he actually believed his own hype, even though he was actually in reality failing. In the beginning, there is an example where the kid thinks they're going to steal all the paper. Can you elaborate, Jeremy?
Yeah, even though I did read as a one because of the examples before, there is a part in the beginning where it said that the therapist noticed that the kid is looking near the shelf. And the therapist says, oh, you're looking at the paper, client, yeah. Client, oh, I'm still looking at it. Therapist, why? See, because I think I'm going to take all the paper just looking at it.
Well, I don't know if that has anything to do with esteem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with Sorrel. It doesn't sound like inflated self-esteem to me. What my patient was saying was inflated self-esteem. I'm amazing at math. You know, I mean, just like the bravado, you know, he's denying any negative aspects of himself to me and to himself too. The negative aspect being, you know, You're really pretty shitty at math, you know, right now. Let's figure out how we can help you. No, I'm amazing at math. I don't need help. I don't need your help. I don't need the teacher's help. I'm amazing at math. So that's the kind of, I think that's what this item is addressing. Let me just finish reading the anchor points just to refresh our memories. And you guys should all, you know, refer back to the documents that I sent you for each of the dimensions and reread the anchor points. Maybe, you know, every time before you start coding, just so you keep in mind. I mean, it's like keeping, you know, 8 different balls in the air at the same time. It's a lot, but I think it might be helpful. 3 has low self-esteem. For example, feels inadequate, inferior, self-critical, etc., or is unrealistically grandiose. 5, displays a range of positive and negative feelings towards self. And 7, tends to have realistically positive feelings about him or herself. Realistically positive, not unrealistically positive, like my patient. I don't know if that helps with, you know, the coding for this item. I mean, maybe someone wants to chime in. Or not.
Well, I rated it as a 1-2. And I think, I'm not like positive what I was thinking at the time, but I think maybe I was thinking there wasn't much discussion about his feelings about himself, which is why maybe there's such a range, because I didn't really know what to do with that.
Right. So when you don't know what to do with it, I don't remember whether this, Brian, maybe you can refresh my memory. Is there a default item if self-esteem is not explicitly mentioned? I can't remember. You know, I'm learning this coding system with you guys.
I don't want to say that and be wrong.
What'd you say?
That I thought it was 4, but I don't want to say that and be wrong.
All right, let me just... All right, so on page 146, SE is not always present in a narrative. In these cases, SE would be rated as a 4. Nice job, Brian. So based on what I'm hearing, a 4 might be that the appropriate rating. And what's interesting is that, so the range was 1 to 7. Guess what the mean of a range of 1 to 7 would be? What's 1 plus 7? 8. Divided by 2, 4. So it doesn't surprise me that everybody's response is kind of average out to what the real score should be. It's the beauty of the mean.
I have a question about that.
Yes.
So if we put things that we're not sure about, or like for that example in 4, does it, like, if we're only putting 5 items in 4, it seems like that would maybe like skew it.
Yes,
a lot.
I'm thinking scores G. Thank you, Lexi. I think given what Lexi just said, I think it should go in 1. This Q sort, unlike the PQS and the CCQ, which all of you are familiar with, doesn't have the normal distribution. And so the issue of whether something exists or doesn't exist, whether it should go in a pile 5 or pile 1, is taken care of by this skewed distribution that we're fitting these items into. And so in this type of Q sort, where it's half a distribution, it doesn't matter, you know, whether the item isn't there or whether there was a prompt for the item to exist and someone didn't respond, or, you know, it doesn't matter. It would go in 1. So I think given what everyone's saying, I think a 1. So a score of 4 in the scores G would, on this dimension, would be a score of 1 in the scores Q. Does that make sense? So, yeah, I mean, I can't, for those of you who placed the item in pile 7, I don't understand that. Maybe you guys can, anybody want to defend a 7? Wow.
I mean, not defend, but I think it was what people were saying before, where there was denial of like other people's badness, that we just assume that it was theirs as well, the individual.
Right. So there's this case in which, you know, the clinical psychology doctoral students in the group are probably overthinking and understanding that it's probably self-referential, but it's not, because we're actually coding more on the surface rather than trying to do some deep psychoanalytic, you know, drilling down into what it might really mean. That doesn't mean that you clinical psychology students who rated a 7 might not be right, but you're making a pretty deep interpretation that in research isn't justified. You're going to be unreliable every time. So the deeper you go in your machinations, the more likely it is that you're going to be unreliable. So we want to stick to the more the manifest content, not the latent content. The manifest content says this kid is not evidencing any self-esteem issues. He can put anybody down he wants to, you know, like everybody's a jerk. Okay, well, he's not saying anything about himself. All right, so people understand that? All right, so let's move on to the next item. Let me just find... Oh, there we go. Everybody see that? So we have item 26. Taylor, is that an item that we had problems with last week?
Let me check.
Okay, thanks. We've got a discrepancy of 2.76. That's the standard deviation. We've got Brian at 8, which is the highest score. Sorrel at 4. Andy at 1. Eli at 4. Elisa at 5. Rachel at 7, Teresa at 5, Lexi at 2, Myrov at 1, Taylor at 7, Mel at 1, Mindy at 1, and Jeremy at 8. So here for this one, the standard deviation is a little bit less, but we've got the entire range represented in this item from 1 to 8. And that's something we must avoid in the future, and that's why we're meeting to discuss these so we get on the same page. So 26.
It was a problem last week. It was 6.
It was. So we need to work harder on it then. Let me just pull up the here we go. 26. Oh, it's also a long one. So this is R, and R is emotional investment in relationships, all right? And this is a very low level. It's the lowest level. So if you're putting this in 8, you think that this kid has the lowest possible emotional investment in relationships, all right? So, tends to focus primarily on his or her needs or feelings in relationships, tends to lack empathy for other situations, may seem very entitled, as if she is owed something, or express anger or resentment that others are getting in the way of his or her goals or desires, may use people for self-soothing in times of distress, and find them important insofar as they are useful. People seem to be valued as someone there for the subject, but not as separate individuals in a mutual interaction. May create role-reversed relationships with own children in which the child is expected to soothe or nurture the adult. Relationships may be transient, interchangeable, or readily ended when they are no longer gratifying. For example, may forget the names of people who were once very important, such as therapist he or she saw for a considerable period of time. So, let the discussions begin.
I mean, I put this in a seven. No one can listen to me this week, so I could shut my mouth. But I did put this in a 7 very high because, I mean, the kid literally like kills all of his family and friends or whatever and the playing with the toys. And like when they were talking about the therapist leaving, they were pretty selfish. I think that this was like very obviously a high rated item. But again, I don't know if anyone should trust what I said here. But if anyone else did it high, like
please. No, I'm backing Taylor on this one. He's literally killing off people in the middle of session, like granted fake people, but that is not positive relationships
so,
at all.
So, Brian, what you're suggesting is that this child is not emotionally invested in relationships?
No. And he, yeah, no.
Okay. So that's some very compelling evidence from Taylor and Brian. Andy.
I chose one because while I noted that he killed them off, it wasn't, to me, it didn't seem malicious. Like, he brought them back to life. And I feel like if he had seen negative relationships as totally negative, he wouldn't have done that. And he did care about, like, the well-being of the family unit, even after they died. So to me, the dying was more of, like, a theatrical effect, and I didn't take it as a purely negative thing, because they came back to life and they had, like, the medicine he wanted to get them better. He didn't, like, go into depth about the death either. So to me, it wasn't one. It wasn't in there.
So what I'm hearing is that he undid the damage. You know, he repaired. He made reparation from a Kleinian point of view. Alisa. Yeah.
I was in the middle ground because I see both, like, parts exactly. Like, I thought that he did exactly what, like, Taylor and Brian are saying. And he even, like, forgot the name of the person that, like, died, just like it says in the item. However, I don't think, like, that it was malicious, like Andy said. So that's why I rated it more towards the middle, because I thought there were just, like, there were other important items that should have gone before it.
Mel, you had your hand up. Thank you, Alisa.
Yeah, I was actually looking to pull up the item again so I can read it one more time, but I was thinking it was lower because he seemed invested in the relationship with the therapist and, like, very open to playing with the therapist and caring about the therapist's well-being. So I figured that that represented his investment in relationships.
So what evidence can you pull from the transcript to support that impression that you have?
Okay, I'm on it. Hold on one moment.
Okay. In the meantime, anyone else want to chime in?
Yeah, I just have a question. Just because we can't see the scores, how far apart, like, how did this compare to last week in terms of how closely we scored together? How did the standard deviations compare?
Taylor, do you have that info?
Well, I don't think you had ever sent, I mean, you said you sent it to us, but I still haven't gotten it this week. Has anyone else gotten it?
Wait, Myra, you're talking about last week's, aren't you?
No, I'm saying as compared to last week, like, how did our scores this week do in terms of how far apart they were from each other?
Like, we're
on this, you mean on this item?
Just saying, like, on all the items.
Like, did we improve at all? Like, I think last week maybe, like, Lexi's was the best, but, and, like, it was like a 0.4, or I don't even really know off the top of my head, but, like, did we go up at, I mean, I didn't go up, but did anyone go up at all this week?
Also, because just when we were discussing this, like, even before seeing any of the scores, a few of us had said how this one was so much harder to code than the last one. So I'm curious if we actually had more discrepancies than last one.
Well, I will say this, that generally the mean correlations that I sent to you in the email message, well, you don't have access to it, so you don't know, but they were a little bit lower than last week, which surprised me because you've had a week of training on the scores queue, so that would support your point of view that this is a more difficult transcript to code than last week.
That last week's had more, just answered a lot more of these questions.
Right.
And this week's was more focused on this particular, like, the fact that the patient was grieving this loss, and you didn't really get to see so much of a range of who they were.
Right, right. Yeah, so it sounds as though, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're putting a lot of items in pile one, and you struggled to put items in the other piles. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay. Right. So we have to figure out then which of the items from pile one we could bump up into the other piles. And, you know, this is something that obviously that you're going to have to struggle with when we start coding the real sample too. There are going to be transcripts where it's, you know, there's not a whole lot of information perhaps that you would need to distribute the items across this, across the eight piles. So I hear that. So where do we want to put this item? I think we put it in one until we find out that this kid did try to make reparation, which suggests that he or she does care about relationships. I wouldn't put it in pile seven though, or eight. That doesn't make any sense because he did kill these people and these are family members. So I think a more middle score would make sense. What was that? Was that Sorrel? Did you just?
Yeah, I have a different example.
Okay.
In reading this item, it's when he's talking about his brother very briefly, but essentially implying that he needs his little brother for emotional support.
Right. So really that example and the saving of his family essentially, you know, resuscitates the one a little bit in my mind. So one would be too extreme. And a seven and an eight would be too extreme as well. I mean, I think a more middle pile score would make the most sense, right? I mean, when I said we start off at one, I meant we start off at eight. I keep thinking this is a negative item. We start off at eight and then we move down to maybe a four, something like that. Brian, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I get why I put it at eight, because murder is murder, but I also see everyone else's point that they were brought back to life. So I feel like a four or like a five or something like that would be a good compromise.
Yeah, because if we ignore the desire to repair, if we completely ignore that, I mean, we're ignoring a lot of the data that could help us decide whether this kid is emotionally invested in relationships or not. And he or she did also mention the brother, as Sorrel pointed out. So there, you know, an eight just doesn't feel like it represents what's going on with this kid. All right, so let's do some more here. Let me share my screen. The next one is item 44. Taylor was 44 in the top 10 last week.
Let me check. I don't know why. I don't just keep this up.
Because you didn't know I was going to keep calling on you.
No. It's totally okay.
All right, thanks.
44 was... like really quick glance, no.
Okay. So this
44 wasn't until like at a 0.96.
Oh wow! Okay, so this is different. All right, good. All right, so we'll talk about this one. Standard deviation 2.63. Brian added 6. Sorrel 1. Andy 1. Eli 3. Elisa 4, Rachel 6, Teresa 7, Lexi 7, Myrov 7, Taylor 8, Mel 1, Mindy 7, and Jeremy 3. So you can see the range goes from 1 to 8. We can't possibly have that when we start coding for real. This range has to be more attenuated in the future. We have one coder coding at a 1 and the other 8. You can see the problem. You can't be any more unreliable. So let's look at 44.
It was tends not to think about moral issues and to show little interest in ethical concerns. High placement of this item suggests the absence of almost any moral issues throughout the book.
Okay. So everybody see that? So tends not to think about moral issues and to show little interest in ethical concerns. High placement of this item suggests the absence of almost any moral issues throughout the protocol. Well, that's interesting. So high placement means it's not part of the protocol at all. So what do you guys think about this one?
I put it in three because at first she was thinking about how she didn't want to take all the paper. But then that would be like a one for me, but then she took the paper at the end anyway, so which is why I moved it up a bit. And then she's thinking about there was instances of her trying to help the therapist find her parents, so I feel like that was very moralistic. And to raise the dead. So, yeah.
All right. What other people have to say? So you automatically rule out an 8 or a 7?
Correct.
Okay. Where'd you end up putting it, Jeremy?
I put it 3. So three. It wasn't like a Boy Scout morals of a 2, but it was good enough to be like under a 4, I felt.
All right. What do other people have to say?
My rating of an 8 is definitely way too high. I think that in general, maybe because I've had a bad week, that everything I was thinking about this kid was like pessimistic, like he can't have relationships and he's immoral. So maybe I was just biased and I'm aware of it. So I would definitely bring it down to like a 4, or maybe not a 4, because maybe like a 3, because he does have a special spray and brings the family back to life and all that is like, yeah. So, definitely
good, bring it down. Good works.
Yeah.
I rated it a 7. I think I wasn't thinking deep enough about morality and just put it up there because I thought that they didn't really talk about, maybe because there was so much emphasis on morality in the last transcript that I was thinking that they didn't really talk about it, but I definitely can see now. Everyone's saying, and I would also bring it down.
Okay. Yeah, one of the things you need to be aware of when you're coding, you know, I've revealed to you that when we start coding the real sample, we're actually going to be coding one treatment. So it's going to be it may not be the same therapist, but be the same kid throughout. And so you have to be very careful to take a transcript on its own terms. Try to block out anything else that you've read before in previous weeks and just focus on the transcript in front of you rather than trying to... Rookie mistake that he's never, ever made. Because if you're thinking about past transcripts, then you are really rating something else. You know, you're rating last week, you're not rating this week, or you're rating 2 weeks ago, or you're rating based on a general image, you know, your mental representation of this child, you know, rather than the child's mental representation. And remember, mental representations can vary over time. So if you're thinking about this kid in one way, you're not allowing him to change in a way. You're making him stay the same. And that's not fair to him or her. So, but thank you for bringing that up. Anyone else want to weigh in on this particular item? 44.
I gave it a 6, kind of for the same reason as Lexi. I think I have like my own like definition of morals and ethics. So what like everyone else who rated it lower was saying, like, bring the family back to life in the spray. Like, I wasn't thinking of that as morals, but I can definitely see why it would be lower, not as high as I rated it.
Thank you, Rachel. Mindy.
Yeah, same thing with Rachel and Lexi also, but I like reread it and I definitely would place it lower, probably like in the 3-4 range.
Okay. Yeah, let me read to you, to all of you, some of the anchor points here. So anchor point 3, shows signs of some internalization of standards. For example, avoids doing bad things because knows will be punished for them, thinks in relatively childlike ways about right and wrong, or is morally harsh and rigid towards self or others. 5 would be, is invested in moral values and tries to live up to them. 7 is thinks about moral questions in a way that combines abstract thought, a willingness to challenge or question convention, and genuine compassion and thoughtfulness in action. So we're ruling out a 7 here as far as the scores G is concerned. But where would you rate him on this item? What do you think on this dimension if we were doing scores G? I don't mean to confuse everybody with these two different coding systems, but
probably like a 3. Because it seems like the morals are there. However, they're not because, like, I'm thinking about the first instance with, like, the, I'm going to take all the paper, like, just by looking at it. Like, it doesn't seem like he didn't take the paper in the end because, like, that would be so wrong to do. And, like, that's, like, a moral belief. It sounded like he thought he might get in trouble or other people wouldn't get it. So, like, it didn't seem like something he wanted to do, but something he did.
Right. So I would agree. I think a 5 would, I mean, a 3 would make sense with this one if we were doing scores G. So if we talk this one out, everybody's good? All right. So let's go to the next one. 51. Taylor's 51 in the top 10 from last week.
It's 29th, so no.
Okay, all right. Standard deviation 2.58. We've got Brian 7, Sorrel 7. So far, so good. Andy 8, Eli 1, Elisa 6, Rachel 6, Teresa 5, Lexi 8, Myrov 2. Taylor 5, Mel 8, Mindy 2, Jeremy 2. So Jeremy, Mindy, Myrov, and Eli are on the low end, and everybody is on the higher end. Everybody else is on the higher end. So let's see what is item 51. Let me open that up. Whoops, sorry. Let's try this again.
Tends to describe interpersonal events as if they just happened with little sense of why people behave as they do.
All right. Tends to describe interpersonal events as if they just happened, it should be ED, with little sense of why people behave as they do. Descriptions of interpersonal events are more alogical than illogical. Affects and motives may come and go with minimal explanation. Descriptions of interpersonal episodes do not seem to lead anywhere or have narrative structure. So this is from the complexity of representations scale, and it's a very low level. It's 1, actually, and it's example number 2. All right. So you have to decide whether this kid has a little sense of why people behave like as they do, or C is, wait, what is C? Is that, or is that social causality? Let me see. Yeah, social causality, sorry. Complexity of representations of people is S, which I don't understand why it would be S. Do you, Taylor?
I don't.
How did S? Are we sure that's S?
Complexity of expectation of people.
Yeah, yep, you're right. I don't know why they selected S as the designation for that. But anyway, C is social causality. So getting back to 51, it's very low level social causality. It's a little sense of why people behave as they do, which is kind of the definition of social causality, understanding why people behave as they do. Very similar construct to mentalization for you first year students who just heard two lectures on it. So we have to decide about this kid, whether he has very low social causality, in which case this would be a high score, or high social causality, in which case it would be a lower score. Okay? So what do people think? I hear Myra, I see Myra talking, but I don't hear anything.
Yeah, okay. So I think now that, I think I would re-rate it as a higher number. I think that everyone is probably thinking about like the social causality in terms of, I feel like the biggest thing and the only narrative is this person who died. So I wasn't thinking about that as much in terms of social causality as I was like, I don't know, nature. And but I understand. I think I would reread it as a higher number.
Yeah, I agree with Sorrel and Andy also in the chat. Andy was saying that he doesn't really explain why the family was killed. There's no understanding of that.
He also talks about a magic door. And I think the therapist was asking like for some sort of explanation. He was just like, I don't know. It's just magic. That's what it does.
Right, which is no explanation.
Yeah.
Right? So I would tend to go with the higher ratings. So one of the lower people, if you want to provide your explanation, Eli, you put it in one.
The second I saw it in one, that was definitely a mistake on my part. I definitely think that he tends to have little insight into why people behave the way they do. And I would definitely put it much more towards the middle to higher pile.
Okay.
It does not belong in a one.
All right, great. Very clear to me. So maybe 5, 6, 7, 8?
Correct, yeah. Between a 5 and maybe I would say a 6 or 7.
Okay, good. That sounds reasonable to me. For the rest of you who placed it in 1, 2, etc., what do you guys think? Do you agree with 6 or 7 for this item?
I agree.
All right. We're good? Okay. Great. Thanks, Mindy. So let's move along. And maybe we can squeeze in one more here. Item 27. Taylor, was that in the top 10 last week?
It was 28.
Okay, so not too bad. Standard deviation, 2.42. We've got Brian in 8. Sorrel in 2. Andy in 1. Okay, so already we have we've run the table here from 1 to 8.
You're not sharing your screen.
Oh, I'm not. Okay, sorry. Let me do that. Sorry about that. Here we go. So item 27, we have Brian in 8, Sorrel in 2, Andy in 1. So already we're running the table here, 1 to 8. Eli 3, Elisa 2, Rachel 6, Teresa 6, Lexi 7, Myrov 7, Taylor 2. Mel 6, Mindy 5, and Jeremy rounding out the field with 7. So pretty much any score you can imagine was represented among this group, which we have to stop. So let's see if we can do that. Item, what was it, 27? Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So here's 27. Tends to value others. So this is another, R is emotional investment in relationships, right? Let me just check. Yes, emotional investment in relationships. Item 7, 27, sorry. Tends to value others primarily as an audience for his or her own displays or as followers or admirers. Experiences significant others as part of his or her orbit rather than as independent others with their own needs, wishes, personalities, etc. May develop relationships in which the other person is valued or respected only because he or she resembles or is associated with the subject, as when subject describes all his friends as brilliant, deeply intimate with him, extraordinary, etc. So this is obviously describing someone who's narcissistic and using relationships for their own ends, right? And so it's emotional investment in relationships, and it's at the lowest level, a 1. And this is the second example of emotional investment in relationships in this scores queue. So given that introduction, let the discussion begin.
Okay, I think I scored it as a 7, I think. And I think I did that because a lot of the times I felt like he was having, like he was playing on his own and having the therapist kind of just follow his lead. And I think it said that in there, which is where I came up with that. Also, the thing about his brother, I think Sorrel wrote in the group, that he like needed his brother to tell him what he wanted or something, which I guess isn't necessarily using someone else in a narcissistic way, but I don't know, I guess I just connected that.
So we can rule out an 8, right? We rule out an 8. So then we go, we work our way down. What about a 7? What about a 6? You know, for the people who rated this item as 1 and 2, I'd like to hear from you guys in particular.
I rated this as a 2, but I don't have a specific reason, mostly because I feel like I didn't see this in the transcript that much. Like, I felt like the relationships aspect was definitely not great. It was definitely like lower, but this specific item to me didn't stand out at all. But I'd love to hear if maybe I just missed something, because I definitely could have.
Well, you know, if there's relationships depicted in the transcript, this needs to be rated. And there are relationships depicted. So if you go back to the manual, it says where only one character is described and no relationship is depicted, you code it a 2. Otherwise, it gets another score. So by that reason alone, I don't think you can put this in a 1. I mean, I'd be willing to consider other ratings, but a 1, I think, doesn't work. Because there are relationships depicted. And so if there are relationships depicted, then this item needs to be rated above a 1. Sorrel.
So I rated it a 2, and I kind of tried to explain it in the chat. I probably would have rated it higher if it weren't for the limits on the piles and the number of cards that can be in them. I think that really
played into my decisions on placing some of the cards is just I can't place them any higher.
Well, you placed this one in a two. You're saying that other items you thought were more important.
Yes.
Okay. So in order to move it up in your mind, you'd have to move some others down, and you don't feel like you would want to do that. The eternal struggle for Jeremy. Yes, I agree. Other than the problem of evil, Jeremy, I agree with you. I mean, Sorrel, what do you think about the arguments that people have made for a six or seven? Do they feel compelling to you? Like, more compelling than maybe your arguments for some of the other items?
Well, they feel compelling, but, like, I think I just must have felt more strongly at the time. I don't have time to, like, go through and reevaluate all of them. I think it does apply the item, so I could definitely see rating it higher.
Right, okay. Anybody else want to share? All right, well, you guys feel more familiar with the scores queue now with this coding system? Is it starting to feel familiar? I mean, you guys are pros with the scores G. So I'm curious how it's going with the scores Q. You've had two experiences with it now. I mean, the reason why I'm asking, I guess, is because if you guys feel like this is like really crappy and you'd rather use the scores G, I would entertain that thought. I just thought the scores Q might be easier because you're coding all eight dimensions at one time. With the scores G, you'd have to read the transcript, and then code each dimension separately. And you might have to reread the transcript several times. I don't know, but any thoughts about that?
What's our like real reliability? Like not just the Pearson. What's our interclass? Did you run that?
I didn't run those because I'd have to do. So it'd be 13. It'd be 13 factorial. I'd be
right
for everybody with everybody else. So 12 plus 11 plus 10 plus 9 plus. I mean, that's a lot of reliabilities to calculate. I didn't do that.
No, that makes sense. Because then my question is, because realistically, if we're getting 0.5 now, that's probably around what 0.7 for the interclass, which would set us where we need to be.
Yes, correct. Which isn't bad, right?
No. Right. I'm debating like if we can read it over and score. I'm trying to think. Well, let me ask you guys, what do you think would be quicker, scoring the scores G or just scoring the Q as it is? Jeremy says G. I'm so used to Q sorting by now that I'm in favor of the Q, but I definitely understand people who want to go back to the G.
Well, let's do this. We don't have to decide now. Let's keep working on the scores Q, and hopefully these standard deviations will start to drop. That's my goal, to have these standard deviations dropping every week. And so let's continue on this path. And then when we're done with these five transcripts I have, we can make the decision then. How's that sound?
It seems fair.
Okay. All right. I like Q sorting. It's kind of like what I'm known for, both at LIU, but also like nationally, that's what I'm known for. So it'd be nice to stick with it, but my goal is reliability. That's number one. And if we can't get reliable and the scores Q, then it doesn't make sense to stick with it. But Brian's point is well taken that even though these Pearson correlations, they look low, they're actually not that bad. Interclass correlations are always higher than Pearson's, always. So keep that in mind. With that, it's 6 o'clock, And it's been a pleasure. I wish everybody all the best wishes on finals week coming up these next week or two. And I hope everybody does well. And I will see you guys next Thursday. And I hope to see most or all of you at the party. All right.
Also, Dr. Gimmel,
thank you so much.
Just so we can set it, what time are we leaving? Because I know some of us are going to have to travel for the party.
Oh.
Which I believe we're at 6.
Right. So what do you guys think is fair?
Well, I mean, I'm going to throw something out that I'm sure people won't like, but if we could get next week off and then meet the 16th for our final time, I think that might be a little easier. Again, that's just one person's opinion.
What do you guys think? Well, Jeremy likes that.
I do have an internship interview for 4 hours that morning and then class in the afternoon. So I might be absolutely dead, but I'm still willing to do it.
That's my tailor.
we're also okay with that.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, great. So we'll take so thank you, Brian, for that suggestion. We'll take next week off and we'll come back on the 16th and then we'll take our break. All right? Yeah, unfortunately, those of you who aren't doctoral students, you know, the Rachels and the Teresas and the Elises of the world, unfortunately, this is only a doctoral student only party. Otherwise, I'd invite you all. You guys were invited to the Doctoberfest thing, and Elisa actually did show up, which I appreciated. But this is only a doctoral student affair. But so we'll take next week off. For those of you attending the party, I will see you next Thursday at the party. And actually, for the first years, I'll see you on Tuesday for your presentations, and then we'll reconvene on December, what is it? Is it 16th or 17th?
I think it's the 16th.
Let me just check. The 16th, correct. All right? Peace.
Thank you.